Good morning. apologies for Pula, is the one supposed to be reading today. So I just read on her behalf because her and Noah, they decided to leave me alone. They went to South Africa and Botswana. But in a serious note is that my sister-in-law is really sick. So we decided they can travel and go and see her. I can stay back. Our reading today will be on James chapter 1, verse 13 to 18. It reads as follows. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning to you all. Let me just fix this up first. Did you all have a happy new year? Wonderful. Did you see the fireworks? Yep. Yes. Believe it or not, we're already on the fifth day of 2020. And I saw the fireworks at home. I didn't actually go out there. Did you see the fireworks? Yeah, sort of. So what are your hopes and dreams for 2020? Do you have any New Year's resolution? No? Well, here are some of the common ones. Did you think about, you know, doing some of these things? Get fit, you know, exercise more, eat healthy food, get organized. I'm going to tidy up my home this year and, you know, all these nice things. Now, getting fit is one of the things that I tell myself I got to do every single year. So one year, I went to buy myself a Fitbit watch. Do you know how many steps you're supposed to do a day to get fit? 10,000 steps, right? It's already on there. But I bought the watch, but I didn't really end up doing 10,000 steps a day. Wasn't that good. And then another year, I tell myself I should go to the gym 3 times a week. Okay, well, you know what? You know, busy pastor's life, you know, you get busy writing sermons, visitations, and something would come up, and I usually don't get to go to the gym 3 times a week, once if I'm lucky. But I know I got to get fit through practice. I can't get fit if just, you know, just thinking about it, I can't get fit buying a Fitbit watch. And I can't, you know, get fit just thinking that I would actually get fit without doing anything, without doing any work out. So I aspire to being fit. But, you know, at times I slack off. Does that happen to you? So you guys are all pretty good at getting fit, eh? I hear a laugh there. So, you know, I slack off, but now I take a more, real approach, as in realistic approach. So I tell myself, you know I can't go to gym 3 times a week. So instead of taking the elevators, I would walk the steps. I would take the steps. So whenever possible, I would, you know, go and take a walk with my husband around the block, you know, just to take a nice stroll around the block. So I take a realistic approach, and I think it's a bit like that with our spiritual walk as well. So we all aspire to being like Jesus, right? As Christians, we all want to be more like Jesus. But we also know that we can't be perfect like Jesus. But it doesn't mean that we stop trying, though. So if we do want to be more and more like Jesus, we really need to work at it on a day-to-day basis. We need to work our spiritual muscles. We need to practice our faith on a day-to-day basis. Now, I know you're starting the year with the book of James, and the book of James is a really good book to help us practice our faith on a day-to-day basis. Now, it is a letter written to the early church, and it helps them to live out their faith during those difficult times. In those times, in the early church, they were being persecuted, so every day they faced difficulties. And in the book of James, it's got a lot of practical tips on how to live out our faith. For example, chapter 1 talks about facing trials and temptations. Chapter 2 talks about we are not supposed to show favoritism. And then chapter 3 talks about we need to control our tongue, which is, you know, a common issue, right? And today we'll be looking at temptations. And through that, I want to talk about how we can get fit spiritually. So to sort of summarize at the beginning, so when we face trials and temptations in times of difficulties, if we follow God, which is the top bit there, if we follow God, we grow spiritually. But if we follow our own evil desires, then we are tempted to sin. So that's what chapter 1 is talking about. Now today I want to focus on verse 13 to 18 that talks about temptation. And through this passage, I want to talk about how we can grow spiritually and getting spiritually fit. So let's get into it. Verse 13 to 14. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Now, James doesn't say, if you are tempted. He says, when you are tempted. So he's saying it's going to happen. Temptation is to be expected. So don't, you know, don't think it's not going to happen to you. Now, he also says in verse 13, when it happens, we can't blame God. Sometimes we say, why is this happening to me? Why is he putting this difficult situation in front of me? So we can't blame God. Can we blame others? Which we always do, I think. And sometimes we blame the circumstance. But James tells us in verse 14 that each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires. So when we do sin, we only got ourselves to blame. Now here, James uses the word evil desires. So he's not talking about the good desires about, you know, getting healthy and good things like that. He's talking more about the destructive type of desires. And he also uses the words dragged away and enticed. Now these descriptions are actually from fishing. Who goes fishing from here? Oh, right, we have some. Yep, excellent. So you know what I'm going to talk about. Now, when you fish, you put this lovely bait onto the hook, right? And that is there to what? To entice the fish to come and bite it, right? And then you drag the fish away. That's what you do, right? Exactly, right? So if we apply this fishing metaphor to temptation, so that our own evil desires is actually the bait that is enticing us into sinning. So let me explain with a few more examples. So let's say, you know, a lot of people have the desire to be rich, right? So if we have this desire to be rich at all cost, so we become greedy. We become selfish, and we may even cheat. Or another example, if you have the desire to be important, so you are enticed to become proud, self-centered, and sometimes even belittle others to make yourself feel important. So we are all enticed by our own desires to sin. So is there anything we can do about it? How can we avoid following our own evil desires? So in chapter 1, verse 15 and 18 actually give us some ideas. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And verse 18, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of all he created. Now here, James is contrasting two kinds of births. Can you see that? There's two kinds of births. One birth, verse 15, is talking about birth from evil desires. And then in verse 18, the second type of birth that he's referring to is from the word of truth to become God's first fruits. So verse 18 is telling us God wants to give us new birth through his word, through the word of truth, that is through reading the Bible. So that's nothing new. You all know that you got to read the Bible. But what else do we need to do besides just reading the Bible? Now let's look at verse 5. And also verse 22. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. And verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. So verse 5 tells us that our God is a generous God. And we can ask him for help in any kind of situation. And I mean any kind of situation. And one of the ways that God helps us is actually through a community like this, Westwide Community Church. If we are in difficulties, I'm sure you would pray for one another and help each other in practical ways. You are a community of God, and God is using you to help each other. So our community can really encourage us, support us, and keep us accountable in times of difficulties, in times of temptations. Now look at verse 22. Now it's very, very clear what James is saying, right? Do what it says. Now reading the Bible without letting it transform us, without letting it change our lives, it's not going to do anything. We actually need to heed the words and do what it says. We need to let the Bible transform us into a new creation. So that's why we are the first fruits. So the three things, I mean, you all know you need to do that, I think. Read the Bible, ask God for help, and do what the Bible says. Now, by doing these things, it'll help us to follow God more. So that would be the top path here. We would follow God more and grow spiritually. But if we give in to our evil desires, we are tempted to sin. But this is a process. It's not going to happen overnight. So I want to work through an example with you, so an application with you, using these three simple steps. So one of the example I've chosen for you is saying sorry. Because I think saying sorry, it's something we don't like doing when we are wrong, even when we are wrong. So I want to use this as an example. So why don't we say sorry when we are wrong? What do you think? Why don't we say sorry when we are, even when we are wrong? What do you think?
We don't want to admit that we're wrong.
We don't want to admit, okay. So why don't we want to admit we're wrong?
Because we're right.
Now we all think we are right. Okay. Now, well, I think it's because we are tempted by our desire to win, to be important. So, you know, when we say sorry, we need to humble ourselves, don't we? That makes us feel small. And that's why we don't want to say sorry. So we are tempted by our own desire to be important, to win, so we don't say sorry. Now, is that you? Well, I know that's me. I find it hard to say sorry, especially to my husband. Now, I give myself all sorts of excuse, right? I would say, I'm right. Now, if he didn't annoy me, I wouldn't have got angry, right? I would say something like that. And I would say, it's his fault. I only did tiny little bit. I only said a few unkind words at a higher volume, that's all. You know, I didn't, you know, do that much. It wasn't that bad. But saying sorry is something we should do when we have done wrong. So what can we do when we find it hard to say sorry? So let's go back to the three steps I was talking about. Read the Bible. Ask God for help and do what the Bible says. Now, first of all, let's see what the Bible says about this. Matthew 7:3-5. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let's me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Well, I actually think Jesus is quite humorous. He's actually quite funny. He's actually using an exaggerated picture to get his point across. You see, it's like this. It's like, oh, I see this little sawdust in your eye. But all the time I've got this plank of wood in front of me and I can see your sawdust. So that's what Jesus is saying. You know what we normally do? We magnify other people's fault, their contribution to the problem. And then we actually minimize our own fault. But all the time there's this plank of wood in front of us and we can't see it. So what is Jesus saying here? What is Jesus saying that we should do when we do that? In the passage, he says, first, take the plank out of your own eye. So we don't like to say sorry, but this is what Jesus says. Take the plank out of your own eye. I need to first remove that first. That's what we got to do. So what does that mean? We need to admit our own wrong. Even though you think you only did a little bit of wrong. And the other thing we need to do is to ask God for help. Because we are proud people. We don't like to lower ourselves and go and say sorry. Ask God to give us the courage to actually to go and say sorry. And then go and do it. Now, there's a rule that I learned over the years, and I want to share that with you, and I find it extremely helpful. It's already on the screen there. The rule says, even if I am only responsible for 2% of a conflict or the wrong, I am 100% responsible for my 2%. Do you understand what it's saying? So, for example, in my example, maybe he started the fight first. Let's say he did. No, and he is 98% responsible for that fight, okay? And I'm only responsible 2% because I only just started to scream at him, okay? But the passage is saying I need to go and apologize for screaming at him. I need to apologize for my 2%. Now, I taught this rule in a resolving conflict course in my church a few years ago. Now, a mother actually put this into action. She actually listened to me. Now, what she shared with us what happened. She said one day her boy of around 8-year-old was very naughty. So as mothers do, you know, she got angry at him and she shouted or screamed at him, whatever happened. She didn't exactly say what she did, but she's, you know, she started to talk a little bit louder to him. And she was convicted by the Holy Spirit. You know what she did? She went to apologize to her son of 8-year-old for raising her voice. Now, that's very unusual in Chinese culture and Australian, okay. And you know what happened after that? You're nodding. I mean, you can already guess. The boy apologized for being naughty. And when she shared that, the whole class just went, wow, you know, this rule actually transformed, I mean, the word of God transformed her, but also the family as well. So it's changing the way the family actually deal with one another, interact with one another. So by following God's rule, apologizing to her son, she grew spiritually. She followed God and she grew spiritually. But also, in addition, her son also grew spiritually as well. He learned about, you know, God's word. This is how to apply God's word. So that was a really encouraging example for our class, and I hope it's an encouraging example for you as well. So to recap, to get fit spiritually this year, 2020, now we need to try as much as possible to follow God and not our own desires. And there are three basic things I talked about. Read the Bible, ask God for help, and do what the Bible says. Now, sounds really simple, but it's not that easy. You all know that. And we all need to pray to God to give us help in doing that, so that we all can be more and more like Jesus and get spiritual fit. And I'm 100% certain that God will be very happy to see you try. God will be very happy to see you do your workout on a day-to-day basis, living out his word, living out your faith. And may God bless you 2020 and become more like him.